We're about to light up season 3 of Drifter's Sympathy on Feral Audio. Episode 1 is called Dawn of Individuation, which rolls the clock back to right when you decide who you want to be and the kinds of early decisions that, for better or worse, completely mold the rest of the shape of your life. And episode 2 is going to be called Loner Legends, sort of an attempt to define who the underdog really is and their role in history and culture and art. Season 3 drops on October 23rd. This is Emil Amos. Check out Drifter Sympathy on feralaudio.com.
When you see me on the street, just treat me like a normal guy, okay? I'm not some freak. I'm not some kind of guy who doesn't understand or how to look. I go to Trader Joe's. I go to Trader Joe's like everybody else.
Okay, it's not a big deal. So when you see me on the street, just like that song, walk on by. Okay, walk on by. If you must stop and say something, think about it first. Okay,
I'm more than meets the eye. Begin advertisement.
I will now speak to you about Night Channels, also known as nightchannels.com. What is that? It's a fully functioning internet blasting drip portal that accepts all forms of non-cash payments in exchange for the most surreal, most fringe-located, drug-addled, creepy, bleepy, synthesized, dystopian, avant-garde, monstrosity, alien, psilocybin, LSD-dipped obscuriosities ever bound to a beautiful cotton t-shirt. Yes, that is yes. Full. I'm just talking about clothing here. I'm talking about clothing emblazoned with the most deeply bizarre and unique designs you'll ever find. I mean, I could just spend 20 minutes here just get throwing words at you, cool little funky like keyword lock-in AOL boys, but it's not going to be able to describe it. It's not going to do it justice. So go to nightchannels.com, peruse the catalog. They have things relating to music, film, occult. I laughed at that I said music because it's not just like, oh, it's related to music. I'm talking about some of the most interesting and unique bands of the fucking 20th century and 21st century. They have t-shirts of theirs that you can't get anyplace else. So go there. Go to nightchannels.com. Enter the promo code HANDSBRANCH. That's HANDSBRANCH, which is a reference to, you know, hands on the branch, and you'll receive 15% off. That's right. That's a huge discount, 15% off, just for entering the custom Twisting the Wind promo code of HANDSBRANCH. We all know that granddaddy Christmas Krampus is itching around the corner. It's ready to fucking bite deep, dip into those neck veins of yours with those dirty fingernail crust claws. So you should bleed out in high style this holiday season, right? Bleed out in high style. Visit nightchannels.com, enter promo code HANDSBRANCH, and get yourself some product. I promise. I-P-R-O-M-I-S-E. I make a promise here that you, if you're a person who wears shirts on their upper body and you like listening to this podcast, which you do because you're here right now, so admit it, you will. I guarantee you will find at least three items you didn't know existed outside of your best / worst fever dreams / meditation experiences / best psychedelic experience on that one time with that beach with that one guy and that one girl, okay? Those things that you existed in your head, they have them emblazoned upon t-shirts that you will most certainly need to own. So go now, seek, look, buy. Get thine self discounted with promo code HANDSBRANCH, HANDSBRANCH, all one word, at nightchannels.com. Go now, get thyself covered in such drippy madness that you will be unforsaken from here on out, and never went for once before, but so good. Too much echo, sorry about that. Nightchannels.com, very special Twisting the Wind promo code HANDSBRANCH. Go now. Thank you. I love you. This is all for you.
End advertisement.
Number one, rate the podcast. Number two, review the podcast. Number three, subscribe. And number four, most importantly, it's time to fucking donate. Stop being a goddamn fucking louse, motherfucking asshole, listening to this shit for free. Okay, there's 70 plus free episodes available to you. It's time to step up and pay the fucking piper, goddammit. I'm the piper, the pipeline operator. So donate through PayPal or go to Amazon through our portal, buy shit, and buy stuff from our sponsor, Night Channels, okay? Do it. Pay the motherfucking piper. The wind is going to stop twisting if you don't pay the fucking piper.
Give it to me. Give it to me. All your love. All your love.
take to be normal? That's what I'm asking. What does it take to be normal? Do you have what it takes? Do you got the goods? Do you got the grapes? Do you got the special? Do you got the flesh? Do you got the body? Did you pass the test? Have you got a fly in your house? Are you running fast or slow like a dying mouse? Are you loaded with bait like a decon friend? Are you just here for the brunch? Or are you here because you're a friend? Are you here for the money? Are you here for the show? Are you here for the butter? Are you here for the blow? When I say it, do you know? When I listen, do you spray? When you ask about the babies, is it because of the day? Do you have a poem? It's deep in your heart. Do you have an answer? Or is it just a shopping cart? Do you got a daddy? Do you got a do? Do you got a butter? Do you got a baby boo? Is there a wish that's inside your heart? Is there money to be made in the stock park? Is there a daddy where a grandpa once stood? Is there a pile of bones on your mama's old collar hood? Is there a brunch with bacon laid to waste? Executive babies playing deep knife tricks in your face? Will you slice it deep? Will you answer now? Will you come back deep inside this puddle with a silver frown? I've got a dwarf. I got an elf. I got a sword. They're on the shelf. It's all stuff I made up. It's all stuff I found. It's all inside there. Oh, baby brown. Oh, baby brown. Where will we go? There's a push pin inside you. It's brown to the frown. Did you get an old duck and ride her to the stream? Paddle box back streets and thrumping in the dean. Is there a place to go with a nice cold beach where you can hang out with girls with arms in their teeth? They're hanging out on the beach. It's a nice Midwest fun. Oh my God, you can get naked here. Oh my God. Oh God. Do you think these hot hipster bitches will get naked in the street? Or they wait and do it down by the beach? There's a rock in the sun. The sun is a rock. Oh daddy. Oh baby. Oh howdy. Deuce back. So all that being said, I want to thank you for being here on Twisting the Wind. That was a poem from my butt to your art. Straight out of my butt comes a piece of art just for your art. It's art to art. It's art for art's sake. Money for God's sake. We're growing. We're going right now. This is it, Jonathan. Hello, Jonathan.
Oh, hey, Johnny. How are you?
I'm sitting across from the table from you. This is the first time I've done it in this sort of situation. We have this nice little... This is kind of weird, right?
This is a new setup?
Yeah, it's a new setup. This table's in the middle of the room. It's not like against a wall. We're not like casually sitting on a couch, but now I'm going to take this out of the mic stand so I can do this.
And that's kind of like great.
Move around and stuff. And so you can do that as well if
yeah,
you choose to.
Sure.
You're a comedian. You're like, you know how to use the mic.
I'm used to holding microphones in my
right.
hands.
There we go. Welcome to Twisting the Wind, JDB, Jonathan Daniel Brown.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So you were talking to me. Well, we've known each other for a good amount of time here, but we don't know each other that well, actually. Really,
it's kind of like weird because we've seen each other all over the place for years and years and years.
Right.
I mean, I think we first met at maybe like one of the old garage comedy shows,
or maybe the Comedy Garage.
It was the Comedy Garage then. But there was also Garage Comedy. That was Val Myers.
Right. Yeah. It was probably either one of the two because I think we met through her, right? Because how did you guys meet?
I met her because I was an assistant on the Green Room with Paul Provenza, And I worked for him as like a, as like an intern at the time.
Right.
And I had met on the set, I had met Rick Shapiro. And okay, I started hanging out with Rick Shapiro.
Yeah, man.
And I mean, that got weird. He started taking his dick out all the time. And it's like, all right, Rick, let's chill out. But
yeah,
through,
Rick is funny.
Through him, I met Val Myers. And Val Myers started like inviting me to shows. And that's sort of how I stumbled on the into the stand-up world, although I didn't really perform for quite a long time. I mean,
but now you do regularly, right?
Yeah, pretty regularly. Yeah. I had a show I could have promoted, but I just lost the venue. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I'm looking for a new one. So if I end up, I don't know, whenever this gets put up.
Months or weeks or days.
Yeah, you never know.
Maybe months, weeks, or days, maybe.
Well,
yeah.
There'll be a new one eventually. Nice. That's the idea.
But you're from here, right? You're from Los Angeles?
Yeah, I'm a Valley kid. I'm from Tarzana. Really?
Man, that's a crazy thing to be like from LA. I always think that's such
a weird unicorns, thing. You know.
But you didn't. If you lived here always, did you stay here even?
Yeah,
after,
I mean, I spent like a year and a half in a boarding school in Utah. But
really?
Oh yeah, I was a fucked up kid.
What was that
kid.
Like?
It was horrible. It was a nightmare.
How so? I want to hear about it.
It was a residential treatment center.
So you sort of sent there.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I was kidnapped by Samoan dudes in the middle of the night.
Jesus Christ, man, this is just... Okay, hold on. Can we go back to the...
I sold a pilot about it. I don't know if anything will ever happen.
It should be. It sounds like it might be a classic case of too good for TV. Mm. You know what I mean? Where something is too interesting to be on TV.
I mean, nothing's getting made. The economy's dying. We're on a collision course.
Yeah, we have to talk about that stuff, too, because I like all so many tweets you have that I am like... I want to ask you about specifically.
Yeah.
I think they're funny, but tell me about how you ended up at that boarding school.
So, okay, I was a nightmare of a kid. I was like probably, I was probably on the spectrum for a while.
What does that mean?
Like I have weird sort of, not really anymore. I outgrew a lot of them.
Yeah.
I almost like taught myself social skills weirdly, but I didn't have them for a very long time.
Really?
I didn't really know how to talk to people until I was like 19?
Gradually, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 19, 20. I didn't really have friends until I was 20. I had, like, you know, friends that would come and go. And,
right.
I mean, but I was mostly just kind of like a depressed, weird kid who didn't do well at school and spent his off time, you know, as a guinea pig of the internet era. My parents had no idea what kind of fucked up shit I was looking at.
Right.
They didn't know how damaged I was from, like, age... You know, it started at age 9 where you find a Sonic the Hedgehog message board, and then, like, three years later, you're looking at, you know, fucking Rotten.com, and, like, what's happened? You're like, that shit... Like, the kids who were born in, like, the unregulated internet era, like, we're all... That's where the I feel like these fucking serial killers are coming from. Like, they were exposed to really horrible stuff as really young people, and no one had any idea.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, because it's that era where... Because I just missed it. I mean, because I'm a little older, and also just because I think I wasn't as tech-savvy, so I didn't really, like... I didn't have a cell phone until I think I was 21.
Wow.
So... I was super late to having a cell phone. Like I was internet. I used the internet a lot, but I definitely did not have the thing where a lot of people have, was where they grew up on the internet.
Yeah.
So that's like a thing.
Grew up, with 56K. And I mean, it really was supposed to be innocent. You know, I'd go onto battle.net and play Diablo, and then all of a sudden someone would send me a picture of their dick. That's, you know.
Right.
It's a slippery slope, and
it's like,
you know,
the slippery.
There were parental controls, but like I always bypassed them
because
like one well, plus like it'd be like it'd be the filter would like block out a Sonic the Hedgehog website or like a Ninja Turtle fan game you wanted to download, and you'd get pissed off, and you'd like find a way around it, and you're like, oh, what other websites can I now go to? Hey, let's type in naked. Hey, let's type in tits. You know, let's type in. And then before you know it, you're like looking at fucking, you know, grandmothers shitting in each other's mouths. And like, you gotta go to bed soon, clear your browser history, fourth grade starting, so.
Right. That's hilarious. So you were into the, you were just down the black hole of the internet.
Oh,
really
yeah.
Age,
it was,
yeah.
It was, I was a really weird loner, just didn't know how to talk to people, wanted to desperately, but just didn't know how. And I was like bullied a lot for it. But I also like totally was a little shit. I would get up in the middle of class and say, I could teach this. I'm better. Because what happened was I was very, very, very like proficient in like vocabulary and social studies, history, that kind of stuff. Like I did really well with that. And like that was something I was good at and that was noticed through my childhood. I was considered gifted.
Right.
And then I was considered troubled. And so what happens is they have this thing called twice exceptional, which is where they're exceptional because they're gifted and they're exceptional because they're fucked up.
Twice exceptional?
Twice exceptional. That sounds it's a learning term.
That will be the name of this podcast, you understand? It's going to be twice exceptional with Jonathan Taylor Brown.
Yeah.
I love the way that sounds, twice exceptional.
It's kind of, this is like a goofy.
Right.
It's goofy, like they're smart but they're scary.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents told me that our principal and like my elementary school principal at VBS Day School, she's like not the principal anymore. My dad hated her. He actually ended up being like a legal advisor to the school board at some point.
Okay.
But anyway, that's totally random. Why am I even bringing that up? Anyway, at some point she had asked him if I had ever torn wings off of flies, like when I got suspended for calling a kid a jerk off. I didn't even know what that meant.
Right.
But I would get in trouble for swearing. I would never get into like physical confrontations, but I would just like get into it with people.
Yeah.
And I had like weird medical conditions as a kid. Like I had an eye patch because like for like in like
to strengthen your eye, right?
Well, I had surgery. Strabismus or whatever. So they had to correct the double vision and then they had I have like bad vision. I'm like just step away from Ray Charles. It's not good. But I had to wear the eye patch for a while. And then and then in fourth grade, I slammed a door on my toe.
You slammed a?
A door on my toe by accident. So I'd have like two surgeries on my toe. And then I saw a doctor who said I had a brain tumor, but it turned out it was like not a brain tumor. It was just some kind of cyst that appears in brains. Okay. But they had to give me the shot every month because my puberty was starting early.
Jesus, man.
And anyway, the medication at one point, I remember this. This is like the most – I have a very – uncomfortable aversion. Like I'm very, my biggest nightmare is like public humiliation.
Yeah.
And
a lot of people will agree with you on that.
And it's just such a horrible feeling, like that social ostracization in like a mass amount.
Shaming.
Yeah. It's the shame. It makes me uncomfortable. And it's like a really popular thing to do in like in the new internet world. And
it is kind of, isn't it?
Bit.
Yeah.
I think some people really deserve it. I think like some people deserve to be shamed, like people who do reprehensible shit, mm-hmm. who like get away with it because they have the money to or the clout to. Like I'm all for that. But then it's like, I hate that there's now like articles on news sites about like some guy who was mean on OKCupid. Like that makes me feel uncomfortable on like that doesn't need to be national news.
It's just to be policed.
I don't know. It's weird. It's just a weird, scary. We're in a massive social transition.
Uh-huh.
Like this is like this. It's kind of like the 60s, except instead of being hippies, everyone's just like fucking using bang apps and
it is similar.
Free love's coming back, or it has. I mean,
it's coming back in a different sense. It's like
in a weird organized libertarian way.
Yeah.
We
have to go back and tell me about. You were 9 years old, and you're talking about getting these. You were nine when you had these
like
shots.
10, 11, maybe.
9 or 10,
I had to
getting
get
these
shots. They thought I had like brain cancer, but it was fine. But I once farted and cleared out a classroom. Like I actually, everyone had to leave
because it was so terrible.
Yeah,
smelling?
It was some hormonal imbalance.
Oh God,
they had to take
Jonathan.
Me to the doctors. It was like
exceptional. That's twice exceptional.
Twice exceptional. Got A's. Wow. Always ace spelling tests. Was good at standardized, but then I started sucking at math.
Right. I have the same story. I think this is a pretty common thing. Is the I could just do vocab like 95-96% every time, no matter what, in vocab. But math was like, what is this weird devil language that's being taught by this molesting gym teacher?
Well, and here's the thing. I actually looked this up recently, and there is now a diagnosis in the DSM or for math anxiety. It's
really
a thing. And apparently math anxiety can be transmitted by like Munchausen proxy. Like basically
that's
a lot of math teachers
crazy.
Who are afraid that they suck at teaching math then vent their frustration on the kids who are bad at math, which gives them a fear of math which runs throughout their entire lives.
My God.
And then I've wondered, like, why am I so uncomfortable looking at my bank account?
Right.
And then I'm like, fuck, It's geometry with Adele.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, but you have a similar.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually gotten much better at math just through kind of like, okay, you know, I'm gonna do this receipt math. I'm have time to do it. I'm gonna do it, and I find myself actually getting better at doing math in my head and finding it kind of, I hate to say it, but kind of fun.
Really?
But the only thing is, sometimes I do, like one time I was stoned at a restaurant with my girlfriend, and I was really stoned by accident, and I was trying to add up the receipt math for the tip, and I almost had a fucking panic attack. So I was like,
oh, no.
"No, the seven, no, the one, no, the seven, the two, no, it's 100." I just was freaking out. But eventually, I was just like, "Okay, I'll just use my calculator on my phone."
Yeah, we all have these things now.
But like, I wanted that thing. I wanted to be like, "Dude, I can do this," but I couldn't do it that period of time. But yeah, I mean, definitely that whole math aversion thing is a. Took me years to get over it. And I only feel like the past maybe 5 or 6 years I've actually kind of enjoyed doing math casually. Like I'm gonna do it on my own because there's no one to impress or not impress.
That's really interesting. I wonder if I like just sat down with like a.
I bet you would
a Sudoku or like a trigonometry problem. If I'd actually be like, oh yeah, AX is not terrifying.
Yeah, because there's no stakes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. My GPA plummeted in high school because I struggled with math, and it frustrated me to no end because it was like A, D, and I'd just be so fucking mad.
Yeah, it's like a ball and chain.
Like, I don't even need this. I'm not gonna do this. I had so many. I don't know. I was just such a I was an angry, defiant, frustrated kid, and so I would rage out a lot, but never like physically. It would just all be like. Yelling or just like taking off.
Yeah.
Those were my two methods.
Taking off, man. That's a good one. I was never good at taking off. I always wanted to take off, just like split. Like,
yeah, well, now I'm like, I can't stay out of my apartment for more than like 2 days at a time.
Really?
So, well, not really. I mean, like, I can go to my parents' house in the valley. It's great. Right. It's great. They got a pool. I mean,
so when you grew up, what kind of household was it growing up? Was
it's like my dad.
They're just people outside.
Oh, they're just people outside.
Hey, the window's ajar.
Okay, yeah. My dad, I was just like making sure that it wasn't like gonna fuck with the sound or something. I don't know. It's not my concern, I guess.
I like an all natural podcast.
Cool.
Ambulance drives by, we address it, and it remains.
That's fine.
Something that like, oh, could you take out that ambulance thing? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which we could do. We can redact
it's
ambulances.
It's up to you.
Yeah.
But I grew up like an upper middle class Tarzan. Basically, my dad has always worked like he grew up in like a very blue collar Jewish family,
right.
Boston family, moved to Encino after the war. And my mom like came from Poland to my mom's mom came from Poland to Canada,
right.
And then to LA. So my parents ended up like growing up and going to like the same schools as kids, and they never met until college, which is bizarre. Mm.
Do they work in the industry?
No.
Okay.
No, my dad's like a lawyer at like a real estate company. He works like a mid-level partner, which means like he's never been rich. Like we always like are, we, my parents are like, I think the best way to describe them are like a little almost rich, but not really. because my dad like blows like pretty much any money he makes on like expensive like college and like, because we got two siblings, you know,
right.
And then my brother's getting his PhD.
Oh, that's $200,000.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, so like all, he makes a lot of money, but like, yeah. They don't spend money on anything. They just like live pretty frugally in this house, and they got a pool.
So you came out of that kind of pretty normal environment,
pretty middle, like
right.
Upper middle class, like Jewish. You know, like not like
suburban,
surrounded yeah. by much wealthier people mm-hmm. a lot of the time. Like, you know, a lot of the kids who went to the Jewish day school I went to were more moneyed.
Right.
And we were not. I mean, we just sort of had this like sort of working class Encino background.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, not really. It's just my dad has like a pretty intense work ethic that's passed on to me. And
yeah.
Basically, it's like if I'm not working, I'm panicking.
Okay. I feel that sometimes.
I struggle with relaxing a lot. And my dad is so amazing. He had a hip replacement like 2 months ago, and he's in a wheelchair for like a day, and then he's like got a walker for a week.
Jeez.
He just gets in his walker, and he just goes to like a computer and just starts like punching in notes. He's like, I got a deposition in 3 weeks. I'm like, this is the one time in your life you are allowed to just lie back and do nothing.
Yeah, you should.
And yeah, but no, he's like hiking again. I mean,
well, I guess it's good.
Now that he's healed.
Right.
I
mean, the Mayo Clinic will get behind that. They like to get you up and out as soon as possible.
Right.
It's cheaper that way for everyone.
Yeah.
Wait, so I want to go back to the whole thing we were talking about. How you landed in that reform school, because that's a pretty big deal coming from, like, you're talking about this background. It's kind of a, for all intents and purposes, a boring suburban upbringing.
Right. I was fucked up. I gotten into a lot of arguments. I, like, had massive panic attacks that, like, turned into, like, borderline tantrums.
Really?
Like, until I was, like, maybe 12.
Maybe
13. I don't know. It was late. It was too late. I didn't like I would just freak out and slam doors. I didn't know how to handle my anxiety. I was on a roulette of medication.
That's nuts.
I was put on, like, because my parents didn't know what to do, so they just go to these experts and they just say, give them pills.
Yeah.
My parents, they don't know any better, so they just take whatever. They just try shit. And before you know it, I'm like a guinea pig, and like I was on this crazy thing that like made me really fat for a while, and then I was on that shit that made me fart out like nukes. And my hormones were getting messed with, and like I was just like a lab experiment, except instead of like becoming Wolverine, I just became a short Jewish dude. I could have been much shorter, it turns out, if I didn't have like that hormone thing.
Right.
I could have been like 4'11".
Damn.
Because I would have finished puberty at like 12, which would have been scary.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, at least you would have got money from the government then.
Maybe. I would have collected some disability. Now I just have like a boyish face.
I get it.
We look like we're the same age.
Essentially, yeah, we're sort of ageless. It's like a weird sort of thing where at some point I'll probably never look my age, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'll probably always look some distended version of it. But
we're gonna live to be like 150.
Maybe. Or maybe not. Maybe I'll just fucking drop dead at 55.
Great. The way things are there's not like asbestos factories anymore.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. Yeah, it's kind of goes both ways, right? Because you don't have these massive environmental problems, but they also don't have there's also not a lot of purity in the things that we eat.
I've had to at least eaten like 3, 4, 5 couches in my lifetime.
Yeah, couch. Yeah.
Like full
a couch
full,
with a fucking
like the the ones that like the
like
tea
sectional.
Couches, like
a
sectionals. I don't go to Subway anymore when I found out about
the yoga mat
bread.
Yeah.
That was like such a like, oh my God. I used to go there all the time.
Yeah, it's so funny, man. So many industrial things that are in the things we eat, but it's...
I'm paying attention now. I'm like looking... It's how I lost a lot of weight, was just paying attention.
Yeah, it's all
more.
You have to do.
It's, yeah. It's yeah, it's really...
Be aware.
But the thing is, you have... Like, I'm seeing a girl who was, she's been sober for 8 years, which is crazy because I'm a stoner. I don't like drinking at all.
So, when did you start drinking? When's the first time you got drunk?
Oh, maybe when I was like, kind of later, maybe 17 or 18.
What about smoking weed then?
I smoked weed once when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And I didn't smoke again until I was 20. And then I started pretty regularly smoking when I was like 23.
Did it help? You find it helped you a lot? Like,
yeah,
like,
well, it's like
thing?
Sort of
it was the thing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because some people that's like the thing. It's just like, oh wow, this is what I've always needed. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
certain
but
people,
it,
that,
it's
the case.
It's not something I necessarily condone either.
Okay.
Like I smoke a lot, and I've been cutting back a little bit just because I don't wake and bake anymore. That was just getting to be too much.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
It's not healthy. Yeah. When you're always stoned, you don't appreciate being stoned.
I have some friends. I have friends who used to be this way, where I would be like, "Are you stoned right now?" And it'd be, "No, I'm not stoned right now." That's when they act weird.
Yeah,
I was like, cause they smoke so much weed that they seem weird when they are sober.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the bad place to be.
And I don't really act differently. Like, to me, weed has never fucked me up. It's just sort of like. It feels like I just get like this anchor that brings me a little more down to earth when I'm gets me out of my head a little bit, which is the downside is then you start to get in your head even more.
Yeah, it's kind of, it just goes both ways.
It goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. I still want to go back to the whole thing that what got you in reform school.
Yes, let's keep talking.
I want to hear that story.
Okay, so expelled from three schools.
Okay.
Okay.
So expelled just for being like a loudmouth, like spaz kind of.
Yeah, like, but also like I made other kids uncomfortable. Really? I pissed off teachers. I mean, right. I was very loud. I was theatrical. I did inappropriate shit. I never touched people or anything. I was never physically ever. But like, you know, when you have like rich suburban Jewish parents calling the school about like the weird kid.
Right.
It's you know, if I feel like I would have just probably slipped through some public school cracks and, you know.
Right.
But
you developed a cool drug problem.
Yeah, developed a real cool drug problem. Would have started hanging out like just hang out there with the wrong crowd.
Right.
The wrong Tarzana crowd.
But this whole time you were like on this weird whirlwind of different psychiatric medications and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So I had no idea. Like, I was constantly adjusting and learning to,
yeah.
It was fucked, you know? And I wouldn't, I, you know, it's like, I don't blame my parents at all.
Yeah.
I don't. Because if I put myself, you know, I didn't have the understanding or the empathy as a little kid or even as like a teenager. To know what I was putting them through. It just...
Yeah, you can't. There's no way to do it. Like, you can't, like, look back on a situation and be like, oh, I would have been done so differently.
But yeah, if I was...
You didn't have the tools...
Teenagers are not smart.
The knowledge,
I mean,
yeah.
You feel like you're smart. You feel like you know fucking everything.
Yeah. Every year I gain in years, I think of those years as like, wow, how was it fucking idiot?
Yeah, like, it's more... The older you get, the more embarrassing you get. I mean, I'm 25, so I'm not even, like... That shit is like modern history. That's
right.
Like, you know, I was doing this while Clinton and Bush were in power.
I didn't even know how to wear tee. I didn't know how to find clothes that fit me. I thought that like I wore a large t-shirt. Mm. I definitely do not wear that size t-shirt.
I like, tried to wear Velcro as long as I could.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. That's a usable thing. It's like a... But sometimes it does tip off the scales in terms of like maybe a person who gets the free bus pass kind of thing. Yeah.
Right.
So you're in high school here at this point, and not in high school, you're like in middle school, right?
Middle school, I went to Bridges Academy, which was a twice exceptional school.
Okay, so
apparently
that...
Josh Groban went there.
Really?
Random fact.
He is twice exceptional.
Twice
yeah.
exceptional, Groban. I mean, his albums.
How did you get sent to the school, the one you're talking about, the one that's the special, the reform school?
The reform school.
Right.
I got kicked out of the twice exceptional school. Then I went to just a school for kids that were messed up, and I got kicked out of that.
Were there any events that led to that, or was it just sort of like
It was just a barrage.
Inappropriateness.
I was just a whirlwind.
Okay.
I never, like, I would go to detention, and I would get in detention, and I'd just say, like, this is prison. Like, I would always say shit, like, what are my rights? I would demand, like, accountability and stuff.
Oh, my God.
Like, I tried to be a little fucking constant. Like, I always tried to outsmart and out-argue, and it just doesn't work because it's like trying to, I mean, school really is kind of prison.
Yeah.
I mean, like, trying to argue with a person who has you in their custody is a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, you don't have any rights, really.
Right.
You kind of have
some.
You're
a child.
You have human rights, but not like rights in terms of freedom.
Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it. Like, I would go online and read like emancipation tips.
Right.
And I would read like, you know, then they'd be like, well, go, you couldn't get a job. And I'd be like, I'd figure out a way. And I didn't really understand that. I didn't understand that, like, you know, the death penalty, you know, I don't understand the world. I didn't know anything going on.
Yeah.
You're very naive. And I like always try to hold on to a little bit of that naivety because there's optimism in it, you know?
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of optimism in it. Yeah.
There's like the idea that you can actually like have some sort of control over the world, even if you don't.
Mm-hmm. And you can like do things that like, oh yeah, I can do that. But really it may be significantly more difficult than you realize at onset. But
Yeah, 100%.
So you're at that reform school, right? And so this is like the end of the line kind of sort of thing?
This is after so many... I got kicked out of this next school and I saw this placement expert.
Right. A placement expert.
I didn't know what she was. She was just a lady I was meeting.
Yeah.
Her name is Harriet Bay.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a
seasoning.
Harriet Bay?
Yeah, put a little Harriet Bay on that. Something like that.
She's like an older lady. And I specifically asked not to go to a school in Utah.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Anyway, it's And I woke up one morning. I remember the night before it was I had seen Sin City with a group of message board friends, not okay. even people I knew, like just adults I met on the internet.
Right. Man, that's cool.
And Mitch Hedberg had died that night.
Okay, I remember where I was that night. I
yeah.
think I do.
So anyway, the next yeah. morning, it's 3 a.m., door busts in, two huge guys. You're going to Utah. I'm 14.
Where are you at this point?
I'm in bed.
But where?
Like at home.
You're at home?
Mm-hmm. It's been like my siblings were away for the night, and...
What time of the day is this?
It's like 3 a.m. It's like part of their package. It's like they sell the parents on that. They tell them that there's no way your kid will come here willingly. They'll run away. You need to have these experts come and get your son $3,000, please. You know, it's
wow,
fucking, so it's a fucking atrocity.
3 a.m.
Yeah, 3 a.m. These dudes bust in and they basically tell me like your stuff's already packed. Just come with us into the car, and it's. I still kind of have like some PTSD shit about it.
Right.
To be
I'm
honest,
sure. I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah, I
sounds like X-Files. Like
yeah,
Fox
I have
Mulder
like shit. Nightmares about that shit, and yeah. I don't know. I've made a lot of peace with my family about this because
right. you have to.
Yeah, I mean, and they, you know, they really did their best with what they had.
Right.
I mean, I probably would have gotten arrested.
Yeah.
At some point. I probably would have gotten arrested or have gotten my fucking ass kicked.
Right.
I mean, one of those two things was inevitable on the path I was on. And so, I just wish that there was a way I didn't have to go down. I'm sure there is.
Right.
You know, I'm sure that like there are things that can be learned. I mean, I hope I never have a kid that I have to like send away. But I would probably try to work it out in a different... There's cultural changes that need to happen and I mean, I think it's just as time goes by that this sort of thing will liberalize. But the thing is that I went to Provo, Utah, which is the most conservative city
Provo's
in the world.
I've been to Provo.
You've been there?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. It's very conservative.
The most conservative city mm-hmm. in America. And
conservative, not even like a political way. Conservative
no,
in like
a lifestyle.
Traditional,
uh-huh.
like, oh, that color is too bright. Conservative.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's like, it's exactly how you, like South Park has those Mormons.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost everyone's white.
Yeah.
Everyone's like in great shape, gorgeous. It's like almost like a very Aryan. It's kind of spooky.
It is spooky. It is a little spooky, yeah.
I mean, I went to this place called Heritage. It was a residential treatment center in Provo.
Heritage.
I had a lot of, yeah.
Heritage.
It's pretty big.
Right.
It's been around for years. And it's considered one of the low-level schools.
Okay. So like low security?
Low security. No fences.
Got it.
There was solitary confinement, which I think they don't do anymore, which
yeah.
happened to me a few times.
Wow.
It was really fucked. And it was for stupid shit. Like, one of them got mad at me for, like, drawing a cartoon with, like, Oprah getting, like, killed by a giant penis or something.
That
it was like,
hilarious.
I don't even remember. But I got, like, well, they were so strict. And, like, I remember the big thing that really always bothered me was that you'd get in trouble for saying crap.
Right.
But you could say fag all you wanted to.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, it was so...
Jeez, man. How long were you there for?
A year and a half.
That's a long time.
It was considered a secular school, but by virtue of every staff member, including the non-denominational chapel,
right.
which you could go to, or you could sit in silence for an hour in your dorm. Those were the two options.
Right. It is religious, even though it's not. Because
yeah.
it's...
Because everyone's
works.
A fucking Mormon.
Yeah.
and I just... There was so it's like you're in an alternate America that never left this weird, scary Norman Rockwell thing. There's a store called Clean Flicks, which
Clean
actually,
Flicks?
Yeah, they got shut down by the MPAA.
Okay.
So what they did was you'd go to Clean Flicks.
I think I've heard of this.
You'd give them
yeah.
a movie.
Uh-huh.
You pay them like $30. They would go through the film, edit out any objectionable language, violence, sexual content.
Oh, my God.
They'd give it to you, and then they'd start selling copies of those for like $30 a pop.
Oh yeah, well that's copyright. That's
it's extreme copyright
extreme
infringement.
Trademark infringement.
It's
yeah.
like the Pirate Bay.
Yeah.
it's intense.
Oh,
and they got and they made
though.
Like millions of dollars. They opened like two stores. It was
Clean
a huge
flicks.
Thing. And the fucked up thing was we were not allowed to watch PG-13 movies unless they were Clean Flicks.
Wow.
And like now and then we would have like a cool staff member come
right.
in with like a Clean Flicks R-rated movie.
Jeez.
But they were just like bizarre. Like Saving Private Ryan was a weird movie.
Oh my God, I bet it was, yeah.
On Clean Flicks.
Clean Flicks Saving Private Ryan.
One of my favorite, okay, so here's what happened. I spent like my first 7 months in like a normal messed up unit, and most of the kids I lived with were like druggies.
So is it, do you have like a roommate, or how's it work?
Yeah, so there were, it's a whole elaborate system, but okay. There were 12 units, 6 boys, 6 girls. 2 of the units were for kids with thought disorders, like real psychiatric issues,
uh-huh.
like schizophrenia, like major bipolar, like mm-hmm. like intense stuff. 2 of them were for boys and girls who had extreme like aggression issues,
okay.
like violent, not necessarily violent, but well, some of them were
ragers.
Violent. Ragers, and then 2 of them were for younger kids,
okay.
like really little kids. Now, I spent my first 6 to 7 months with like some normal kids. I ended up getting like punched a couple times, and like they overreacted. Had cops like put these 2 kids in solitary for a month. Everybody in the unit hated me. It was like this huge thing. So they ended up having to move me.
Jesus.
They put the police, and it was like a huge over the top thing.
My God.
Where like I just, because they found like a bruise on me, and they're like, who did it? Who did it? And it was like so over the top. Anyway, how it works
like
is that
14 at this point.
Yeah.
15?
15. Boys and girls are mostly separated, mm-hmm. but they can like interact when they cross each other. There are 2 school buildings. The boys would stay in one, the girls would stay in another, and they'd cross each other all the time.
This sounds not that unlike Ender's Game.
Yeah, you had to walk in lines. You had to walk in lines everywhere.
Right.
And you had to just always follow instructions. Then there was a level system. So if you were bad, you were level 1, which anybody who flipped out when they got there would immediately go to solitary and be a level 1. Anyone okay. who starts gets a level 2. Here's how privileges work. Level 1, you got to ask, do everything, even go to the bathroom. Level 2, you can go to the bathroom on your own. You just sign a check-in sheet. Level 3, you can play video games for like an hour a day, and you can go outside of the dorm to the porch.
Okay.
Level 4, there's a co-ed circle. And to get to level 4, you have to be a level 3 for 8 weeks and then write a letter saying why you should be a level 4.
Okay.
And then there's a co-ed circle where like 5 people just sit and talk.
Okay.
And semi-supervised.
Jeez.
Level 5, you can just kind of do whatever the fuck you want. Like I saw level 5s literally just run around the place, but there were like 2 at the whole school.
Level 5s.
They
oh,
could
this
leave
is fascinating.
Campus. They could go to like the movies, but they had to but they there were like none. To get to a level 5, you had to kiss everybody's ass so hard.
My God.
And now and then they would punish you for doing well, saying you're just jumping through hoops.
Oh, like
so
that
like,
thing, like the parole board. Like we feel
every
like
week they did.
You're
treatment
just saying
team.
This to make us happy.
They do a treatment team every week where they go through everyone's name, decide if they're going to level them up, level them down, or keep them the same level,
mm-hmm.
and why. And it's entirely opinion based by like a couple random therapists and like a couple of the dorm counselors. And then they posted on a giant public wall, so it became like a fucking class thing. We're like, you're only a level 2. You can't tell me what to do. Why does he get to get that extra popsicle? Well, he's a level 4. It became like this fucked up.
It's like that prison experiment almost.
Yeah,
in a way.
Like, I don't know how much of this shit is like scientifically. They did hot seat, which my parents like became furious about. Like, as I like
what started, is hot seat?
Hot seat therapy is where they get everyone in a group together, and then they have everyone go around and say like what, like they pick someone like who like they don't like, or like who they say everything. The group goes around and says what they don't like about one person.
Oh my God.
They did like fucked up shit like that.
That's like the most destructive thing possible. That is the exact opposite of what they do in most treatment facilities, is they try to bring up your confidence.
They fucked with you as
oh
a way to
God,
try to get,
man.
Because it was all about compliance. It was all
oh
about compliance.
God.
They broke
You're
you.
Killing
they
me.
Put you in solitary. My parents found out about all of this shit like after, because they give you like this tour and they give you like
and you
weren't
able
books.
To communicate with your parents.
Yeah, like I could talk to them on the phone every 2 weeks, which
okay.
is crazy.
And was that most phone call, when you were on that phone call, would you be like, hey, this is going on?
Yeah. And they believed me, but the school would always downplay it for them. And like a few months in, they started getting more and more suspicious.
Right.
And they started fucking with them a little bit in like weird ways they could.
Your parents did, or the school did? Your
no,
parents?
My, well, both. It okay. like became this weird, there became like these weird tug of wars my parents would have with the school. They used like some sort of like state funded program, because it's like insanely expensive. Like
oh,
a lot
bet,
of the
yeah.
kids there were court ordered. And
oh, I'm sure that
so like there's some sort mm-hmm. of program they used that like paid for it, so like they had to like there's like a process to pull me out or something like that. But I stayed for like a year and a half, and I just graduated high school really early. I just did all the schoolwork, so they hadn't, you know, they had to get rid of you when you're done with school.
Yeah.
Anyway, I ended up moving to the thought disorder unit about 6-7 months in, after I pissed everyone off with like the bizarre non-attack. And one of those kids blew his brains out, by the
Jesus
way. So,
Christ.
Like, I feel pretty bad about it. I don't. Right. I know it's not me, but I still feel shitty about it. And it was like a weird year in general, because yeah. I went home for a few days, for like a few days, because I had to have this cyst on my fucking ass removed.
Oh my God,
called
Jonathan.
A, like over my ass, like where a tramp stamp would be. It's called like a polynidal cyst, and apparently it's like one in seven people.
It's like a almost like a where a prehensile tail would be, huh?
Yeah, and so like I had to have like a surgery, and so I had to go back to L.A. for a few days, and while I was there, my grandpa fucking died. So like my dad's having like the worst time ever, like I'm like just freaking out because I don't want to go. I'm freaking out about that, but I also don't want to go back to Utah. And so I like did everything I could, and eventually they basically it became this huge ordeal where I had to like the cops had to like threaten me, and it was fucked up.
What do you mean?
I wouldn't go on the plane.
Oh, you wouldn't go on the plane to go back?
Yeah. So I had to like I ended up like missing my flight and like having to go back a few days later.
So you did go back?
I had to, and I mean
because of the police.
They like had, it was like a, like they that's threatened, so it was weird.
Wow.
It was fucked up. Like, I don't know exactly how it works, but anyway, I came back, I felt real guilty for my, you know, because my dad is having like the worst time of his life, and here I am flipping out. And I sort of, I had this light bulb moment.
Right.
And where I'm like, just fucking do what they say.
Uh-huh.
And it happened. I started complying. And I started complying. And in a weird way, I sort of developed little social skills that I think I may... Part of me wonders, like, if it was actual social skills they were teaching me. And part of it is like, did I just teach myself this shit as a way to survive? Like, you know, like people in prison, like, learn how to put, like, phone books under their shirts or whatever. Yeah. Like, I think it was probably a little mixed. There's probably, like, real therapy, because I saw, like, a therapist, and it was just such a right-wing, unpleasant environment, but it was beautiful. I mean, there were swing sets, there was, like, a gym, there was a theater. I was cast to play Tevyon Fiddler on the Roof again. I did it once in sixth grade, but then I had to have the ass wart removed, so that kind of, that ruined my Provo Broadway debut. But they had, like, donors bringing in, like, from, like, major corporations. Like, it was a multi-million-dollar facility.
Jeez.
It was huge, and it was not, and like because you could see the mountains, it was a gorgeous campus. You could see the mountains, and there were no fences. It gave off this kind of like, hey, welcome, you
like
know,
a university or something.
Yeah, we're gonna take care of your kids.
Yeah,
but I just think that it's inevitable when you're in a place that's so conservative, regardless of how secular and noble your intentions are, it's just going to leak into the programming.
Well, communities are always like, that's the idea. The idea of federal laws and being enforced in communities, the community is always going to hold itself to its own standards, regardless of anything. Like if you could have some sort of tiny hick holler in North Carolina, they don't care what the federal government says. They're going to dictate everything's always community standards, regardless of anything. It's sometimes they happen to fall in line. Usually they happen to fall in line with something that most people agree on. But if like a group of people all hate black people in this certain area, they're going to fucking beat them up because they don't like it. And they're going to get away with it too, because all the people in that community also are like, yeah, we kind of agree with you. We're going to look the other way.
Right.
That's like how shit always works. It's always community.
It's always shit that just slips under the cracks. It's like the dark underbelly of any, picturesque. I mean, apparently there's just like a lot of Latino people in Provo. Like it's a small percentage of the population, but like they all live in like serious poverty.
Well, yeah, they have because Utah, all those states in that area have huge Latino populations because they all work in either farming industries or just big. And they populate all the industries and all the factories and such.
Park City and Salt Lake are cool.
They're pretty nice.
Yeah, those are the two. I mean, I like snow. I never see that.
Right. Wait. So I want to know what solitary is like. That sounds
it's
like,
weird.
What's solitary like? Someplace there. Like
so at this it was called ISU, which was called Intensive Support Unit.
Okay.
And
I love the names for
they
stuff
have tons
like
of
that.
Like weird business school like lingo. Like we gotta take him to the ISU and put him in a PSR, which is a personal safety room, which is a booth that's padded.
Oh my god!
Completely
safety
white,
room.
Tiny little box. They close you in, and you are allowed to leave if you don't flip out for like 2 hours.
2 hours.
Yeah, you have to like stay calm for 2 hours,
that's
and
so
then you
funny,
go
man.
And they put you in this like room with other kids, and meanwhile, like they give you like a desk. And they give you writing. They give you like a pad of paper and some pencils and then some books and they just give you random ass writing assignments. Like,
okay.
But usually, like, the first writing assignment would be something like, what I did wrong that makes me deserve being here. Like, mm-hmm. what I did to deserve being here, why I'm here, and what I did wrong and what I can do better when I'm brought out. And then after that, it was like random shit. Like, do a book report on this thing. I mean, they didn't care. But you could be there for days. If you were there for Friday, just like if you get arrested on Friday, you wouldn't get out till Monday because the therapists were off on the weekends and they were the ones who could bolt you out.
So how big is this room you're in then? You're in
tiny. It's like probably like the size of like the PSR would be like a small like a probably like the size of like an apartment bathroom without the shower.
Okay, and that's you're there for the whole weekend?
You could be there for the whole
weekend. Is there a bathroom in there?
Oh, no, they let you go outside and use the bathroom. No, okay. But then you have, like, a bunk you can sleep in. And, okay. like it's there are more comfortable places to sleep, but the PSRs, the solitary rooms, were just for people that were flipping out.
Right.
And, like, eventually you would break and calm down, and then they'd let you, like, go to bed or whatever.
Man.
But, like, it was... But, like, you had to ask permission to do anything down there. Like to even, like, to move there... I remember the guy who worked there was a guy named Conan, and he told me he was an interrogator in Iraq.
Okay.
And
probably a lie.
Probably a lie. He was actually he would just like to tell stories. This is nothing. This is nothing. Whenever you'd complain about how this is I was just screaming shit like and how horrible they were. They're monsters. Fuck you. Fuck you, like, I'll kill you all. Like, just shit that, like, I didn't mean it. I just said, I definitely yelled violent shit as a kid, too, which is another thing that probably set off some. Like, I'm not, like, violent, like, aggressively, like, specific, like, I'm gonna shoot you all, but I'd say stuff like, you deserve to fucking burn. And, like, scary, like, kind of, like, stuff like
that's
that.
Cool.
Yeah, very, very, very punk. But he would regale us with stories about
putting the thumb screws on these jihadists.
Yeah, serving his country.
Lock them down, man. You got these tail heads running around there. They don't know what for. You got to lock them down. You got to tell them what they're praying to the wrong God. I'm your God right now. In this room, I'm your God.
There was a
Muhammad.
Right. It was borderline Zero Dark 30, but not too much. I mean, for kids, it's tough.
But you got out of there.
I did. I spent, I got out of there a year and a half. I went to community college. I dropped out and sort of found my way into this shit.
So you think you'll write a book about that experience?
I probably should. It'd be cool.
I think you should. There's this really cool book called Fish.
Yeah?
I can't think who it was written by right now. I don't know why. My friend Billy... A guy, Stunt Rock, he was on the podcast a little while ago. He sent it to me. I read it. I just read it really quickly. It's about a young man who goes to prison in Michigan. This is in the 80s when they were like super tough on crime because of the crack epidemic. And they were just being super tough on anyone. And he robbed this kid robbed a photo map with a fake gun. And he was like 16 or 17. He got sent to prison, like big time gladiator school.
Adult prison.
Yeah. And he was gay.
Oh shit!
And so it's just like crazy experiences of his experience in.
I would read, like, that for
just
sure.
The amount of rape that goes on there is exceptional. Like,
well,
the shit that goes on.
I'm actually, that's like the one thing about this election that didn't bum me out was that the Prop 47. Like, I think
drug crimes
are now misdemeanors, or at least possession is. I'm sure dealing is still DEA territory.
Right.
But.
It's so funny because it really all boils down to nothing but we just don't have the time or money to deal with this. We want to put you in jail. We just can't afford
to
do it.
The only way for reform to happen is when it starts to inconvenience people in power.
Exactly. It's ironic, but it's the truth. It's hard to realize that. I think a lot of people get frustrated a lot about things when they're like, how come this isn't happening? It's
I think
it can still happen. That's
I think that's why, and I think that's an interesting thing. I think that's why civil rights for gay people has moved so fast over the last 15, 20 years, because I think a lot of people with a lot of money have basically managed to spread that message and it's true. It's the correct message.
Right.
But like, there are a lot of really, really powerful, like race and class are like intrinsically connected in America, but not so much sexuality. You can be gay and rich, or you could be poor and rich. And I think that's a thing. Like, when something affects rich people just as much as it affects poor people, you see progress.
Right.
And so I in a weird way, It's because I was reading some article just about how, like, only when the needs of rich and poor people meet do things happen that are good for poor people. And I think gay rights has been, like, a good thing that's happened for poor people and rich people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I need this the most, but you're also gay? Okay, that's good, but really, this is for me. It's because it's all about...
I was at Pride in San Francisco with some friends, and it was having just, like, it was nuts. It was, like, the most... It was just a crazy citywide party.
Right.
And I remember seeing a guy getting arrested, and he's like, come on, man, it's Pride. And the cop goes, yeah, I know, I was here with my partner earlier. Put your hands behind your back. And I'm like, okay, gay people are cops now.
Yeah.
Like, of course they are, but
right.
It's just a weird thing to see. Like, the established... Like, it's now so status quo. Thank God. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't believe in God, but you know what I mean. It's so like they have now become so accepted in society and the stigma is gone that you just see, you know, gay cops like in the most macho masculine bullshit violent culture in the world. If they've managed to assimilate, that's progress.
It's like a pretty it's something. I feel like to some extent that that battle is like something that's what's the word? It's something that it's like a privileged, we're lucky to we get to have that battle, you know.
Right.
It's something where if that's the thing that's really a sticking point, a big problem, things must be pretty good, right? Things are going pretty well in the United States to where that is the vanguard issue,
right?
And the fact that it's even being solved too is even more.
I would like to see, you know, I'd like to see, you know, I doubt anything will happen. It looks Ferguson's just like such an ugly counter pick, you know, a counter image,
right?
Or like a. Like an inverted picture of that same thing where you have like white cops just out of control banning. Now I read that they banned media helicopters and admitted it to the FAA and.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And like that's, they colluded and like that's really freaky stuff to me.
Yeah. It's all fear based. It's such a simple thing to think about. It's all just fear.
Right. No, yeah, Ebola, like ISIS, election, fear.
Vote. Yeah.
Don't vote. We'd rather you not vote. Vote if you're old.
Yeah, don't vote. I mean, I barely voted. I voted sort of accidentally because I saw a friend at the polling place. I'm like, I guess I'll vote. And I did it. And 90% of it I left blank except for some of the stuff because it's something where it really doesn't have any bearing on me, anything I do whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's just such fucking...
Yeah. And one thing the weird thing is nice thing, I had to go back to the Valley to vote because that's where I'm registered.
Right.
And so the nice thing, I didn't get any bullshit mail this season. I didn't get any...
Me neither. I don't know why.
No candidates.
Well, I also voted provisionally, so maybe I didn't even vote. So that's probably why, because I don't know where I live.
Yeah. It's a perk. Where what state?
Oh, I live here.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. But the provisional. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I had to vote. I had to go in, and they didn't have my name in the whole system.
Oh.
So I have to cast a provisional ballot, which means they have to, I don't know, like back register me or some bullshit.
Right.
I don't know. So basically, I didn't vote. You know, I voted, but I didn't. My
California voting is not voting. I mean, it's not. It's like if you're a liberal in California, it's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
Except for weed and gay marriage for some reason.
It'll happen. I think it's one of those things
just
where.
It took too long.
They tried too early. So it's a thing where, you know, you try too soon, you got to wait.
Right.
To try again. That's all it was.
Yeah, it's inevitable. I mean,
it's totally inevitable because if you zoom out enough, all that stuff is just it's like the same thing as slavery. Like the fact that we were enslaving people in the United States for as long as we were, so much of the world was like, "What are you fucking doing?
Yeah,
why are you guys doing that? Still, we don't do that anymore." So it would have like the Civil War obviously was it happened and it happened for a reason. But if it didn't happen. Slavery would have ended. It just would have ended in a different way.
Way later. Yeah.
I mean, who knows, really? But
progress is weird and not fast enough.
Yeah, or maybe it's super fast. It just depends where you are and as far as like your viewing scope.
Do you watch Interstellar? Is this what we're...
No, I haven't watched Interstellar,
okay,
no.
Okay, I was like, are we talking about like galaxies?
Well, yeah, I guess I am talking about that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I think about that, like if I get mad about something, it's so easy to just zoom out and to look at, you know, any and all political things as the most absurd, ridiculous things ever. It's like rats squabbling over a piece of shit that has a nugget of corn in it. It's like there's no difference at all.
It's all data too. Like you can actually see, like, here's what's gonna happen in 2016. Here's what's gonna happen in 2018. Here's what's gonna happen in 2020. It's like I already know. Like I don't need to do anything.
And it's all just change. There's so many things that are just change that happens slow that people think they can affect, and really. everything's always changing and always will change, and there's nothing, you can affect things to some extent, but who's to say that 150 years from now, or maybe 700 years from now, that we'll all be enslaved by gay vampires with green skin, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, that will be, or the opposite.
I'm cool with gay lizard vampire masters. Yeah. Like, that would be right. Kind of fun.
But it's like the idea of like a minority or like anything like that, everything shifts so much over time that there's no way to...
Yeah, I mean, white people used to hate white people just as much. Just, like, they'd be like, I hate the Irish, or I hate, like, Italians.
Right, I was watching that show, The Nick, last night, that's such a good show. Have you seen that,
The Nick? Yeah, I've seen the pilot. I gotta watch the rest.
Oh, it's great.
Well, pilot's crazy.
There's an episode where these Irish people are fuming about something a black guy did, and it's like, you look at these Irish people, like, these people are fucking rednecks, man. These are straight up rednecks living in the city. This bitch is drunk in the daytime and she's fuming about this injustice to happen to her. She sounds like some sort of trailer queen who's like, oh, I know a dark one did it to me, so they're all bad. And it just sounds the same, just with an Irish accent.
Sometimes I forget that Southern accents are like are basically like
Irish accents.
Yeah, they're from Europe. They're British.
They're fucking mixed, man. Yeah. That's what they are. Yeah, they really are. Like all those, like the whole idea of a hillbilly.
Uh-huh.
That word comes from everyone being named Billy. Because they're all fucking Irish.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
what
they're
all. I had no idea.
That's why they're all making all that goddamn bootleg, because they want to drink their moonshine.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
science.
The fucking Irish, man. The Irish will always be a problem. This podcast is all about. I am an Englishman. Wouldn't it be great if I had a whole podcast just trying to reinvent hatred toward the Irish, like 100 years after the fact?
Like, it's still not over for some people. Some people are still fighting in Dublin. Like now they and are. Then you'll hear some like IRA, like new. It's crazy. That's like if there's no movement that's lasted so long in America, like despite being over.
Right.
That's like if like the, what is it? The Weather Underground. Like if they were like popping up like once every 10 years, like it'd be crazy.
Yeah. We get over stuff pretty fast here. That's cool to think. It's cool to think about that. Cause like they hold the grudges over there much longer. We'd be like, well, we're kind of, well, cause America's so classist that they don't care about race to some extent. It's like,
yeah, really a lot of racism, I feel like, is actually classism.
It totally is. It just happens
to
be...
But no one wants to talk about class here at all.
They don't want to because they're scared that they'll lose their class status by talking about class status because people of high class don't talk about class.
Right.
It's like this weird fucking
thing.
They'd
rather go to the Soho House.
Yeah, go to the Soho House. Yeah, the racism is absolutely a classist thing. It's so funny that no one ever talks about that because they're scared. I think they're scared to. It's a thing where... It's so evident all the time.
Well, it's a chicken and egg thing too.
It is, because a lot of times people of color or people are poor because of
racism.
Right. Exactly. So, but it also I think a lot of that racism, at least it's region specific, and it's whatever fucking pendulum hiccup we're in at the time, kind of, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
like we happen to be in a current state.
Maybe our country's too big.
Could be.
Maybe we're just too big. There's so many different Americas. It's crazy to think about.
There's a lot of people who think that if America ever goes into a state of like sort of semi like massive decline, like AKA apocalypse, which I don't think apocalypse gets a word. I think that's a word that gets thrown around way too much in terms of there probably will never be an apocalypse unless there's some sort of nuclear accident that, which still probably won't happen. But
yeah,
if anything happens, there'll be a massive decline because of energy resources. And if that happens, there's a good chance that people will, it's just sort of like a thing where people tend to stick to their own. You know?
Well, there's tribalism.
Yeah,
and class is a form of tribalism. Like rich people feel comfortable around other rich people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's poor people feel comfortable. Well, probably most poor people feel uncomfortable around rich people too. But I mean, I don't know. There's this weird thing where like if people are above class, people in a lower class are supposed to like look up to them just because
to strive.
Of their,
yeah.
Right. And I hate. It's like we've been told for, you know, like 100, 200 years about the bootstraps, pull your bootstraps up and get your shit together. But man, so many famous and rich people are related to famous and rich people.
Oh, yeah.
Taylor Swift is connected to Wall Street.
Is she really?
Yeah, her dad is like a Merrill Lynch executive.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
It's all connected. So chemtrails.
Thank you for saying chemtrails. Yeah. Yeah, she's
Gamergate.
Gamergate chemtrails. I'm so not unaware of Gamergate and happy.
I'm aware of it. I just don't I'm over it.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Basically it's like there's a lot of video gamers that have felt that video games are their only thing that kept their identity together, and they like playing very masculine games.
Right.
And then a couple independent women developers came in and made more like games that are like less rah-rah America.
Less and dick spray.
Yeah, or, you know, less and less Japanese kid saves the world.
Yeah.
You know, and that freaked a bunch of them out.
Oh, okay.
And so they like attacked like in mass
pissed.
Numbers. They like attacked this poor woman, scared the shit out of her. And, like, I think like a bunch of women who like then wrote about it were then like scared out of their homes too, and then they like somehow like changed it into like a campaign against corruption in video game journalism.
Yeah, it's been warped.
It's bullshit because the video game industry, just like Hollywood, just like music, is completely broken and in not the ways they're talking about.
Right.
You have executives making insane amounts of money while everybody working for them can't pay rent. It's the same thing all around the fucking country.
I want to take a quick break. I want to come back. I want to talk a little bit about film.
Yes.
Hello. You're listening to Twisting the Wind, a podcast you're listening to for free. So be a good person. Make the change. Donate. Buy shit. Buy stuff. Give us some of the money. Thank you.
Bye. Welcome back to Twisting the Wind with Johnny Pemberton featuring Jonathan Daniel Brown here.
Oh, hi.
So, the film industry is something that you have been a part of.
Yeah, I mean,
You're in a film called Project X.
Yeah.
You're in a film called Kid Cannabis, which I haven't seen.
It's, Kid Cannabis is really interesting because we shot it a couple of years ago. It was like a really crazy, weird shoot, but it was like one of the most insane times of my life. And then like, the producers like basically got in a huge fight in post-production, and like everything went to shit, and like the movie turned out decent, pretty good, not like, you know, Citizen Kane or anything, but like an enjoyable movie. And
it's an indie movie.
Yeah, it's like $3 million.
Okay.
And it got like a small like release on iTunes and VOD and like in one theater for a couple days, and it just was quiet. Like there were like 10 other movies coming out that week, and they were trying to get it out in time for 420, but they released it on 418. It just didn't because that movie's coming out on Friday. I mean, why don't they just release it on 420?
Right.
I don't know. It's like, why? Because everything's broken.
Yeah.
Anyway, no one really saw it. It just became one of like five indie movies that came out that week. And then it went on Netflix a couple months ago, and it's exploded.
Really?
It's
cool.
Nuts. I don't know, because Netflix doesn't release numbers, but it's been featured heavily, and I'm getting approached on the street.
Nice.
And it freaks me out. I mean, it's cool, but like...
You're the main guy in it, right?
Yeah. I play, and I shot it 2 years ago, and it's just like, it's so long. It feels like...
Cool, man.
Yeah, but it's now finally coming out and getting like a lot of love.
That's so cool how that can happen, though. How something you can make that's fun, interesting, and unique, it can have a later opening.
Yeah, it's really neat. I mean, I have a lot of like, I have like a few criticisms. Like, I think the movie could have been amazing had the producers were insane. I'll never work with them again.
Okay.
They were just, a lot of them, like some of them were cool, but a lot of them were there was like eight of them.
Right.
It was like a mess.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And then there was just constant bickering between them, and one of them fucked with my timesheet and like screwed me out of money. Like,
what?
he turned like a clock in at 7:30 into a 9:30. Like, I never got proof of who exactly it was, but my suspicions are on two people who have like both been extremely rude to me in the post-production process, having me come in and do voiceover for free, having me promote the film for free, being like very flippant, not inviting me to the premiere in Miami. like just shit like that.
Oh, what the fuck?
They're scumbags. And I mean, they were like, one of them would show me pictures of himself having sex with prostitutes. Like, he was like a real creepy.
Oh my God.
Yeah, always flying to Panama. Like, pressured me into having an uncredited cameo in some dumb stripper movie he made. Like, real piece of work and all. And he would, you know, he would fuck with me. Like, he would play with my, you're 22 years old. You're starring in the first movie you've ever starred in. There's a lot of pressure.
Right.
We recorded this voiceover.
This is
like,
after Project X.
Yeah. This is a few months after Project X came out.
Okay.
And it was just like it was the biggest challenge probably of my life at the
time.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure to
and it was great because I spent 2 months in Canada in this island, Victoria, off the coast of Vancouver. And we guerrillaed a lot of it. We I worked 7 days a week, which is totally illegal.
Wow.
I worked 7 days a week. I worked I think there were 28 days of shooting, but I was there for a month and a half, 2 months.
Jeez.
But we just did not stop at any point. And I was so exhausted and broken by the end, but it was this great adventure. But
wow, man.
There were a lot of budget issues, and it was originally going to be funded by HBO, but something happened during the writer's strike and everything fell apart. And then they had to go with this cluster of shady producers who were really shitty to me and rude and condescending.
God.
And just pushing me to do, they tried to put me in an apartment with another actor, and that was super uncomfortable because we didn't have any of our own private space. So after 2 days of badgering them, they finally got me my own room, but there was it was just completely empty except for a bed.
Jesus, man.
But I would just go out every night and just walk around town, and it was a small little, 400,000 people, and there was this local press just saying, hey, they're shooting a movie here. So everybody thought I was king shit of this island. And I was just walking around, and I was just hooking up with girls and acting like I was everybody's weird neighbor. It was this weird tiny fame bubble.
Wow.
That lasted for 3 weeks, and it was one of the weirdest experiences of my life. I played this very cocky kid, this white trash kid from Idaho who starts his own pot empire by smuggling this chronic in from Canada. Mm-hmm. So over the course of the film, my character becomes more arrogant, and then I'm walking off set at night, and all of a sudden people are woo, and it's fucking nuts. I'm not used to anything like this. It's weird because I love movies. It's wouldn't be doing this if I didn't love movies, and I'd probably just be, pushing to road dog it or something. But the reason I like to act and write scripts and all that is because I genuinely love movies and TV, and I find that's not the case with a lot of people who do this.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
They're more interested in fame, which I think is gross now that I've sort of had 3 seconds of it. It's not my thing.
Yeah, it is pretty gross because it's antithetical to art or anything like it. Mm-hmm. It's it has nothing to do with it. It's just sort of it's a byproduct of it. It's an occasional bar. Really? I haven't even watched that yet, but.
It is literally the opposite of satire. It is rich people in expensive cars talking about their wealth.
Oh my God. That'd be a great thing to make. You make a show called Rich People in Expensive Cars Talking About Their Wealth.
I mean, there's so many. I don't even know. Does he get to keep them? Is that the deal?
Who, the cars?
Seinfeld. Does he keep the cars?
He's a car collector.
His cars.
Those are all his cars.
He has a boat in the latest season.
Jerry Seinfeld has a garage. I know about this because there's a guy who's an executive on that MTV show. To take it back to that MTV show.
Yes. Is it on Netflix?
I think it's on Amazon. You should watch it. It's called Mega Drive, everybody. Watch it. It's really funny.
Shot.
I'm fucking hilarious.
Royalties.
Yeah, I don't get any royalties from that.
Fuck.
He lived in New York, this executive at MTV, and the place, his brownstone or whatever in Manhattan, was next to where Jerry Seinfeld had bought an old, I believe an old firehouse, something like that. And he has a carousel that goes about 3 stories underneath the ground that is all loaded with Porsches.
What if someone just torched it? What if someone just destroyed
his car? It's probably pretty hard because it's made of brick and all these sort of indestructible materials, but it's a Porsche carousel.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so you can dial up which Porsche you'd like, and it's like a
CD changer for cars.
It is. It costs God knows how much, gobs and gobs of money to create, yeah.
I feel like I'd maybe cap myself. If I was ever, not that I will be, no, yeah. It's like, I love when people are like, if I was ever a billionaire, okay. if I was ever super rich, I'd probably like cap myself. I'd be like, any more than this money, the rest I'd give away.
Yeah.
I can't. Ugh. It's money freaks me out a lot. And I think it's connected to my, I guess, math anxiety. Maybe.
Could be.
Like, bringing it back
to. It is more money, more problems.
Like,
it's
I don't.
Babylon shall fall.
I spend money on like weed, food, and video games. That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
and
it's movies. Weird. It's weird to think how little amount of money you need to engage in really like fun shit.
Yeah,
it's, you don't need that much. If I get a windfall at some point, I will buy a hot tub, and that will be
that
great.
Would be
and I'll
sick.
Be super happy with the hot tub because I will never be sore again.
I want a dog. I
mean, dog's great.
Dog, you know, and a hot tub.
Again, dog, not that expensive.
No,
there's only a couple things you need there.
I don't have the yard.
There's like a second bracket, which is the yard. That's a second income bracket, but it's definitely not a tax bracket where you're having to worry about hiding money.
Right.
So
right.
It's the kind of thing where that, yeah. There's this thing, people always talk about that in terms of Wall Street and money and stuff. How they say, so survival of the fittest and what is it? Survival of the fittest, but...
Darwinism?
Darwinism, the idea of you people they use that as an excuse, but it got me. I was thinking about that in terms of that doesn't make sense in terms of the animal community. But you never see an animal. So like animals, they fight amongst themselves to
sure.
get
dominance and power.
Dominance
and
power and control, which is what people who are in dominance and power and control, they subscribe to that and quote that and live by that. But the difference between people and animals is that. An animal doesn't take more than it needs.
Right.
That's the idea. You survive because you take what you need, not many hundred thousands of times more than you need. That's the difference. That's where that whole fucking analogy fails to compute, is because it's not about,
yeah,
it was about survival. Yeah, you're definitely, you're not
why do
fucking,
they even want it?
You're like,
that's the thing. Like, what do
it's
you
so
do
beyond
once
survival.
You have like two yachts and like five yeah. houses, and you have an island? It's like in a jet. Like, what do you want?
I mean, I suppose you're a member of the Illuminati. You're an imperialist,
right.
And it's about maybe maintaining control for further generations, so you can have some sort of a
legacy.
Yeah,
you want statues,
or it also could be about something that you and I are unaware of. That's like this taste, like the seventh taste that takes you to trans interdimensional travel that we don't know about, and we would learn about it if we could gain enough wealth to join the Illuminati community and go to the basement of the Denver airport. Maybe then we could like. Understand the seventh taste, but
speaking,
we don't.
Speaking of taste, have you heard about those rich people private chef things?
What
like,
is that?
Like, there's these like weird secret food societies
right.
that are like insanely like $20,000,
right?
And like you will like be given like a private location that you have to go to and tell nobody,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll have like an illegal animal to eat.
Oh my god, that's horrible!
Like I've heard about
Who
it.
Who broke that open?
I don't know. I remember
an illegal animal.
It's like I think it's like
oh.
it's like rare and exotic foods. Like people.
Oh, and who wants to eat a fucking illegal animal?
Like I don't know, but there's somebody that just
like,
has always wanted otter, and if you can afford it,
otter. Ooh,
I don't know.
At that point, if I'm gonna eat an otter, I want the brain of a child.
Yeah,
I want a fucking white child's brain.
What do you? I mean,
I want liquefied in a smoothie I can have for breakfast and then pour over my dick in the morning. That's what I want. If I'm gonna have an otter, I want that.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
It's
sad.
It's really fucked up.
Yeah. But you know, it probably is just that good. It probably gives you the power to be stronger and live forever. So we'll never know.
I mean, it didn't work for Steve Jobs.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's true.
Do you think
yeah.
he pissed someone off and they're like, we're cutting.
Could be. Yeah. Maybe no. he pissed off one of the upper veteran Illuminati members and they were like, Stephen is done.
Yeah.
Stephen was black.
They keep his.
That's how they speak. Send me south. And if you slow it down, it's like, Stephen has become a person who is not able to be trusted by us. We love his products. They have allowed us to assimilate hundreds of millions in China, but he is no longer able to be trusted.
They keep his office. They keep his office untouched.
They do?
Yeah, it's really spooky. It's like that scene in Stand By Me where Gordy goes into like dead John Cusack's room, and then his dad is like, you get out. You leave. Like, you got your thing. Like,
oh, Steve. But see, that's the I mean, I'm sure that Steve Jobs' office untouched looks the same as it did when he was in there.
Yeah.
He's such a minimalist. It's like, What was it, like a pillow and like a candle?
Yeah, but they were like, it was beautifully.
Yeah,
like
the way perfectly. I'm sure it was amazing.
Yeah, very feng shui.
Yeah, super feng. I need to get feng shui. This is place. I have feng shui nightmares. I'm just maddened by non-feng shui. Where can people find you and what should they find?
I am on Twitter.
Right.
You can find me there at Jonathan D. Brown, JonathanDBrown. I got a movie on Netflix that you can watch anytime called Kid Cannabis. It's a few months old, so give it a shot.
Right.
It's not too old yet.
Yep.
It's not Double Indemnity.
Okay. Yeah. And
that's a great movie. And then, and Project X is on, you know, you can buy it on DVD or Blu-ray or iTunes or whatever the fuck you want. It's on Comedy Central every week.
Nice.
Well, not every week, but it's been on a bunch.
It's on a lot.
Add me on Facebook. We can be friends, maybe. I don't know.
C'est la vie.
Whatever you want. Once I get my new stand-up venue, I will let you all know where it is. All is subjective.
All the people in Australia listening right now.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Good night.
The United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.